When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go. There we go.
All right. So can't really call it like a high thought or a shower thought, but that's kind of where it lands. So I was driving home from the tournament on Saturday from Saginaw. It's about an hour, 45 minutes, hour to 45 minutes. And I was driving on the road and I was like, just, it blew my mind how all these roads were built so many years ago and we still like use them. And it was just like, it's crazy. And then I was like, they used to use them for horses. And then someone found, like, discovered, like, gasoline. And they're like, I'm going to make something that can handle a bunch of little explosions to motorize this thing to you know, to drive. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, people, you know, like, my hour and a, or 45-minute trip would have taken, like, a whole day back and, you know, back on, like, a horse.
Yeah.
Take a horse. Now I just, like, wake up the first at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Was this the first time you've realized that? Like...
But just like putting it all together and then on the way home, I'm like, and I just woke up at 8 a.m. and used all of these inventions that someone created for me so I could go throw frisbees in the woods.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's definitely
just like this, just like, I don't know, just like the way the wheels were turning. I was just like, man.
You spiraled. We have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, we're in the 21st century where there's like medicines existed for like 30 years. I mean, 100 years ago, like, not only do they not have roads, but if you got, like, a scrape, you're like, it's 50% fatality rate.
For sure. Like, that's an infection. We have no idea what to do.
Yeah, you're like, you're out disc golfing, you fall on some thorns, and you're like, well, goodbye, everybody.
It was good knowing you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's, Zach got really bad diarrhea, and he died.
And he's dead.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening to my high thought slash shower thought that was in the car. So welcome to the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. My name's Eric. I am joined always by my co-host, Kyle.
What's up, guys?
And very special guest from Terminal Velocity Discs, Zach Wendell. What's going on, sir? Zach?
Oh, just enjoying my Sunday and hanging out with you guys.
Sweet. Well, thanks for taking time out to chat with us.
Yeah.
We always appreciate people who, like, you know, taking time.
No, it was cool. No. I appreciate y'all reaching out. And I mean, we couldn't have done it at a better time. I don't know if y'all know that just the coincidence of the Cervini, like, releasing this week. Like, so it is really good timing. And so
that's the plan.
I was telling you a little bit about it earlier, but I was out of town all week, so I didn't really get to play. And then, so I got home today, and today's the first day I got to throw the stock Cervini. Like, so really good time for y'all.
Sweet. That's exciting. So why don't you tell us about the Cervini? How, you know, what's any difference between like the first kind of couple you got out there to a few people or?
Eric, you threw one, right?
Yep. Yeah. I got a pair of them. Okay. I haven't played with them a lot, but first couple throws were like, oh yeah, that's instantly in the back. Yeah. Everything is the Ursus, but
The Ursus, it's like, I mean, I tried, like, I've been playing for about 10 years or so, and some of the discs that I love, I've kind of taken inspiration from and just kind of look for slots. But like the Ursus, it was kind of just I used to throw Moabs where, I mean, that was just like, I love an overstable mid that you could just chop down on and make it do fun stuff. And so I really wanted a disc in that slot. And like, I have always loved like a flippy fairway that you can just throw as far as any disc in your bag. And it's just like, I can hit it on hyzer, watch it flip up. I'm a hyzer flip player. Nothing's more beautiful in disc golf than watching a disc flip up and then slowly ride to the right. And I think some of the protos that we sent out were a little bit flippier. But today I was throwing one and it was standing up in the headwind. And I was just like, what the heck?
Weird.
So so either I got worse at disc golf or this thing's a little bit more stable than I expected. So, but I think there's some color differences. I was throwing a red and my buddy was throwing a red, and we can both, like, when we get a hold of one, go over 400. and they were standing up. And I mean, I'm calling it a 10-6 -3.1. So I'm thinking, like, you know, fast and flippy, but
yeah,
the one I threw today might have been like -2.1. Like, it was fading. Okay. So, so we'll see. I'm real excited to kind of get it out there and get the feedback. Y'all have seen them, right? They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Throw them out. Let the people see them.
Yeah. If they fly,
I've seen them.
Yeah. If they fly like half as good as they look, like, they're gonna be amazing. Let me see if I can get a good one.
I got boxes. I've been throwing the blue. I have two blues, and they are they're flippy, but they're not like uncontrollable flippy.
Yeah. Do they have a little bit more gold in them, or are they more solid?
No, they're pretty solid blue. Yeah, I would say.
So there's some that are a little bit more like swirly. And my experience has been like, okay, the swirly versus the darker blue, the one with a little bit more color density, I think is a little bit more stable. But okay, like, if it's more see-through, if that makes sense, I think it is a little bit flippier. And some of them, some of them have some like pop to them, and some of them are flatter. Okay. But
yeah,
that's kind of,
I got two flat ones.
Yeah. So hopefully yours stand up good. I want something somewhat stable, because I want players who are good to be able to throw them. So
yeah, I don't know if I call myself good, but
yeah. Well, I just, yeah, you know, something too flippy is just not totally usable. No. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Right. It'll be more of a
but
yeah, I get it. Just like anything too overstable becomes not usable at a certain point. But.
Right. No, I'm excited to get hopefully some honest feedback, and when people get them. And I mean, with the Ursus, I knew I had like a good disc, like, immediately.
Right.
But with this one, a fairway is just a little bit more tricky. You know, like, this, the Ursus has its own slot. It's a slot that I didn't have to compete with a lot of discs for, I think.
Yeah.
Like, did you bag anything in the Ursus slot before you started throwing the Ursus?
Quakes were about I bagged a lot of Quakes, and then it was kind of love it first hand feel. As soon as I put the Ursus in my hand, with how flat it is compared to the Quake, I was just like, oh yeah, this has to.
Are you throwing the glass or the calcite, the glow one?
Depending on what I'm doing. If there's no snow on the ground, I throw the glow one. If there's snow on the ground, I throw the glass one.
Have I shown you the new splatters we're doing?
No.
So we have the granite plastic, and it's kind of like a KC, kind of a putter plastic.
Oh, I'm throwing those two as my.
Okay.
Those are sweet. This is why I called it granite. And so they're a little bit flatter, a little bit tackier than the current granite. Mm-hmm. And they stay stable a little bit longer. And so I'm hoping to drop these in a couple months. And honestly, this might be my best disc. Like, if you like overstable disc with like in putter blends, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a big zone guy, so.
Do what?
I'm a big zone guy, so that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's
just, you can bag the zone and the Ursus.
Yeah,
sure.
No, that looks great.
I bag a Toro for like just shorter like chip shots, and then the Ursus kind of like took my Firebird slot. I don't throw Firebirds as much as I used to, so it took that more than it took my zone slot, honestly.
Got you.
Yeah, super super controllable, but still really, I don't know.
Yeah, and if you beat them in good, they get straight. Like, I can flip them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm excited for. I just obviously haven't had them super long, and they're just too good. They don't hit the trees as much as my other discs.
I've definitely dinged some trees with mine.
So what went into making the Ursus or the Cervini? Like, how much hands on did you have of it? Like, was it just you told, I think it's Legacy, right?
Yeah. So
did you tell Legacy the kind of disc you wanted, and they sent out like samples or?
Yeah. So, they already have a mold that's very similar. And I was like going around to different manufacturers, kind of testing what I wanted. And I kind of fell in love with their plastic. I don't know how much you've thrown other than like our stuff that's Legacy, but, the Rico brothers, I mean, they're just guys who've been around disc golf forever, and they just,
right.
I think they know what good discs feel like. And that's one thing that's cool to me about this, is like, I'm giving a whole new market that used to only throw like, you know, Innova or Discmania or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a whole new market. And so like I have people all the time who are like, oh, this is great plastic. And then I tell them who it's made by, and they're kind of like, oh, well, like it's surprising to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of their discs are really, really good, really unique. As far as like the design goes, yeah, they already have the Recluse, and this is basically just a modified version of that. And then the Stravini, same thing. We're working on designing a completely new mold. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to be. I'm pushing for like an overstable putter, so I can own all the approach slots in your bag.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a zone in the same plastic that those Ursus are in, like something like that, or like like an overstable putter? Like I think that sounds sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, well, so if you made like the overstable, because the glass plastic reminds me a lot of Discmania's new Italian or whatever C line. And so everyone wants a C-line tactic, and they can't get it because they don't make it. So you fill that out.
Give the people what they want.
Well, that's kind of the problem in this, is that like I think the entire market sees these holes and like, okay, we all need overstable putters. Like last year was the year of like the Savant and the Dynasty. Like everyone made that like 9 slot, right?
Yeah.
I feel like
there's like Passions and the whatever Torrent or something.
Yeah. And so it's such a long process to even get a mold out there that, I mean, it took me like a year to get one mold, and then now I'm kind of speeding things up, and we're small, but we're growing. And so it's just like, how much do you want? And I think my plan is to release another mold by the end of this year. And then, that's kind of changing depending on what we can do based off the designs that I'm working on. But it's fun. It's like I get to put out my little creations and into the world, and I design them the way I want. And it's cool to think like people see your stuff and they're like, oh, that's cool enough for me to buy. So
yeah. Do you create the stamps too? Are you like the artist behind the stamps? Or
No. I guess most of them. Yeah. No, I usually come up with ideas, and then there's a lot of guys that I follow who I'm like, I think he would be good at this design, this type of design.
Mm-hmm.
Like Justin Lego, he's been awesome to work with. He's done a couple of stamps for me recently. He does a lot of stamps for a bunch of companies, and you just reach out to the artist and you say, hey, this is the idea I have. And they either jive with it or don't. I've had some people who they're like, man, I don't really like drawing that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay. But
be honest with me.
Yeah. No. I want a guy who like, I like to ask, like, what do you like to draw? And could you make it fit this theme, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something cool that I get to do is like support, like I want them to do their stuff. I don't want to tell them like, this is exactly what I want. I wanted to display their stuff. Like the Ursus design, both of them were done by my buddy Pale and Red on Instagram, Cade, but he does like album artwork for rappers. Like that's his full-time job.
Wow.
And then he did artwork for Disc Golf. He didn't even know what Disc Golf was. He was just like, what?
Right.
I was like, hey, your art's sick. I think it'd look good on this medium. Let's do some stuff.
Right.
And I mean, they look amazing. Yeah. We didn't know anything, and we had to kind of figure out like the regulations and stuff. But it's definitely one of my favorite parts of it is getting that design back. And you're like, oh yeah, this guy killed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially working with like smaller artists like that too. That's just
No, it's cool. And it's like, I mean, anything else where you see your taste that you like in someone, like I just scroll around on Instagram. That's what my algorithm is like basically tattoo artists. Cause that's the same thing as disc golf design. They use hard lines, and like most tattoo artists would be bad A disc designers or disc art designers.
True story. I was thinking about that too. It's like, sounds like a tattoo like person could do this pretty easily.
No, I know a couple of local dudes who basically told me like, if here's some designs, put them on your disc, and then like basically like offering tattoos in exchange, like because they think it'd be cool to have it on their disc. Like all right,
that is cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm waiting for someone to get one of the stamps tattooed on them. Maybe I should do like a giveaway.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
I bet someone would do it.
Get the little TV. Like that little TV, sick.
I'd even do that. And you know what's funny? That TV was a complete accident.
What?
Yes. So the first design, the TV was just like the tongue of the bear. And I was like, that's really like, I love that. Can you just like isolate that and give that to me? And now I use it for everything. Like I'm wearing a TV hat right now.
Uh-huh.
And so my logic behind it. So a lot of my discs are based off like extinction events and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so this kind of looks like a asteroid going through like the atmosphere and you know, like hitting the planet. Okay. That's why I see in it.
Okay, that's weird.
There's probably a lot of stuff in my disc golf company that like just goes way over people's heads, but it's like the nerdiest stuff if you get into it.
But if you get enjoyment out of it, who cares if other people don't?
I mean, just the fact that like I'm teaching y'all Latin, like Ursus, bear, like Cervini, deer, like we're gonna have a bunch of nerdy disc golfers out there. All the classics are.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think most disc golfers used to be nerds, and they finally found a sport that works for them.
Yeah, we all had a couple Pokemon cards.
I had more than a couple.
Big time.
Yeah, I used to do like Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments.
All right, I
was a monster at Yu-Gi-Oh, and then
I fucked with that shit too.
When I was in middle school, like my mom used to drop me off at like Barnes and Noble, and I would go play like grown men in Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, And then I just remember at some point, I was just like, this is so sad. Like, I don't want to be that.
Like, I got to find something. I got to find a different
hobby.
These guys are way too sad.
Yeah. I mean, that might be something awful to say. We might have to cut that. But
Like,
hey, this is your hobby. I mean, don't get me wrong. I also look back at ourselves like, I own a company that people go and they throw discs in the woods. Like, I get it. We're weird too. Like, don't get me wrong. All sports are a little weird.
They really are.
So how did you find disc golfing? Speaking of, how did you happen upon it one day?
I'd say the first person that ever took me, my uncle used to take me with his buddies and smoke pot in the woods. And I would throw frisbees when I was a kid. And I don't even know if I realized it was a sport. And then when I was in high school, there's a course like that people just wouldn't hung out at. And I was like, I started playing like once in a while, like once every couple months. And then probably around 2013 or so, I was just like, I was in the military and I was bored and they had a course nearby. And so I just started buying discs and started throwing, and then I kind of quit disc golf for a while because everyone made fun of me. And then I got out of the military and just started playing again. And my wife used to be really good at disc golf, and she was like sponsored and she beat me. And so she doesn't really play too much anymore, probably because I beat her. But
tables have turned.
Right.
Yeah. But we used to go on dates and we'd be like, hey, whoever wins, the loser has to buy dinner, or whoever wins, like does the dishes tonight, you know? Or vice versa. But I mean, that's a big part of it. My brother-in-law, her brother, he was really good too. So I just had to keep up with them, and I fell in love with like discs in general. Like, just I still to this day like pick up discs and I feel them and I'm like, ooh, like it's stupid. I don't know what part of our brain that itches, but you just pick up a nice disc and you like, what is that? Is it just us like collecting shiny rocks or something, like biologically, where we're just like,
so yeah, it's that lizard brain,
that lizard brain that, but we've like evolved to be like
shiny.
Ooh, that's, it's got a good color. It feels kind of good. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna throw the heck
the
out
right
of that.
Shade of pink and the right shade of blue. Yeah, no, it's funny. I went over, my friend just moved into a new apartment, and so he had all his stuff laying out, and I found his disc golf bags immediately, and I just started going through it, pulling out everyone, just seeing what he has.
Right. Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah. Oh, I'm probably so annoying to play around because like someone will pull out something. I'm like, ooh, can I touch that? Like, oh, what's that? Like, if you have a good throw, I'm gonna be like, hey, what are you throwing there? Like, right. You're not that good. So that disc must be good. Like, right. I mean, and that's really how the store started. I was just like obsessed with the new disc. And then it got to the point where I was like, I got a couple hundred discs. Like, I got to get rid of these. And now I have a couple thousand. So
how long has Terminal Velocity been around?
It was kind of a slow burn. Like when COVID first started, I was already kind of a retailer, but I didn't sell a ton. I just kind of like retailed and sold locally at like events that I was running.
Yeah.
And then I think about a year into COVID, I realized that we weren't going back to normal. And I had more time at home. I work from home. And so I was like, okay, I can do this. And so I started the website in January 2021. And I had my first mold out in November 21, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it had been about a year whenever I released my second mold or my first mold. And now we're about to release the second mold like 2 years in. So it's just, if I can release a new mold every year, that's not bad. Yeah. I enjoy the grind. It's a creative outlet for me, and I get to talk to you guys, and I get to talk about disc golf all day, and I need an outlet for it somewhere, because no one else wants to hear me talk about it.
Yeah,
I think you'd be surprised.
Like all disc golf.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a very select group of people. Like, I get people see me at work every once in a while, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you do that, right?" And I'm just like, I'll start talking to them, and I'll catch myself because I'm like, okay, so Paul McBeth, he won like 5 championships in a row, and then he went to Discraft, and then he went, and then they're like, okay.
You're like, I just wanted to know.
Like, yeah, I had to explain like what one rule. They're like, so how do you play disc golf? I'm like, well, it all starts with Ken Klima, really. And I go from there. And I'm like, when you start, you're probably going to start rounding. And right. So we're going to go ahead and start talking about that right now. Like, and yeah. They're just like some 60-year-old woman. Fun. Yeah, yeah.
They need that context, man.
Do what?
They need the context of that, you know?
Like, yeah. Well, I don't want them to... I usually open with these days, like, this is what disc golf is. There's a guy who makes $1 million doing it. Like, mm-hmm. All right. So not that silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was something that surprised you about, like, your industry in general? Like, I don't know if you disc golf retailer or manufacturer, whatever you want to call yourself.
Yeah. I mean... I guess I'm both. And I like being both because I get to support like other companies, and I get to supply people all kinds of stuff. Cause I mean, I throw everything right now. I mean, I'm an open bag guy. Obviously I have my terminal velocity molds in there, but something that surprised me about the industry. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's so early in that I really haven't had too many pitfalls or anything like that.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been lucky, and there's a couple times where I could have taken lumps and then stuff happened. Like the Cervini, we were waiting for a different plastic blend, and the shipments from China were just slow. And so I was like, well, what else could we do? And the plastic we were planning on doing was not as pretty as the plastic we got. And they were just like, what if we just mix this together? And I was like, try it. And they sent me a picture of it. And I was like, holy crap. Like, we were going to do like a metal flake quartz, which is basically just like a metal flake glass plastic.
Yeah.
And that's going to be sick. And it's a little bit more stable. And I'm looking forward to that. But man, these are so pretty that I'm glad that was a happy accident.
Yeah, and, they're sweet.
I've just gotten to the point where, I mean, it's like 50% me just grinding and just 50% just happy accidents. And if I can just keep that going, then. We'll be doing good.
That's good.
Oh yeah. All right. Pick any disc golfer, pro disc golfer. You know how they have the McDonald's meal deals or whatever? Like they got like the Cardi B and Offset one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make a meal deal for that disc golfer.
A meal deal, like so? What like they would order? Or what?
Yeah, like what you would guess they would order, and then they you know, like now you can go to McDonald's or like the Paul McBeth meat.
Ah, man. I mean, I don't know, like, who would be the best one to go off of? Because, like, I'm immediately thinking Simon, because that's like, have you ever been to Germany? Like, German food's amazing. And so McDonald's doesn't really have a like McBratwurst or something, but
maybe like an international, you know,
maybe they'll make one for Simon.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. I mean, yeah. But yeah, like a hamburger with like curry ketchup. I got like that. I don't know if he likes curry ketchup, but when I was in Germany, I ate a bunch of curry ketchup with like sausage. And
assume he would. I have not, no.
Yeah, in Europe they have curry ketchup chips. Like, it's a pretty popular flavor over there. And so if you ever see it, like go to like the I guess it would be like the ethnic like aisle they have in the grocery stores. Like usually the Indian, this would probably be like the Indian food, or if they have German food, or you just take some curry, take some ketchup, swirl it up.
There you go. Should be easy.
Sounds interesting.
If not, yeah. I mean, we got way off whatever your initial question was, I think, but
that's okay.
If you want the recipe of curry ketchup, we can get to Google it.
It's perfectly fine. We live in the tangents.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it went with Simon. I feel like he seems like a guy that enjoys life and would probably make a good sandwich.
Definitely with curry ketchup.
Possibly.
Right.
And in the spirit of the show, what is your biggest oh no moment on the disc golf course?
Oh, I don't even know if I can tell this on here. We might have to cut this because some PETA stuff. So, I'll go into it.
I might turn this off.
Kyle,
I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me fix
it. Good.
I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
We're in the Matrix.
All right, hopefully it fixed.
But they're trying to shut us down for this story.
Yeah, it's too good.
it's too hot. The pod's not ready. All right, you ready for it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, so me and my two buddies are out, and we're playing this course where it's got a couple long bomber holes, and I am notoriously like bad at forehanding. Like, it's almost a joke at this point. Like, since I've had the Ursus, I've really forced it. Like, I'm getting pretty good at them, but if I try to throw like over 400 feet with my forehand, I have a tendency to roll my wrist. So there's a hole I'm wanting to go like max distance with like an emperor, I think. And I rolled my wrist, and as I roll my wrist, a squirrel like runs across the fairway and gets hit like in the head.
Poor squirrel.
It basically died.
It
died like immediately, and I was just shocked. And so I had this like awful face, like, and I was like almost laughing, like, what are the odds? So I roll my wrist, and the squirrel runs 20 feet and just gets hit. So I mean, I've never seen it before. So I turn around to my buddies and I'm like, what the heck? And then we're like, what do we do from here? Because I gotta play this live, right?
Yeah.
So we walk up a little bit, and I'm like, around the corner there's like a woman with like a small child, like 20 feet away from the squirrel. And I'm just like, I think I just picked up the disc and just kept walking. I was just like, whoop, whoop, doo, doo, doo.
I'll take a 7 on this hole and move on.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, I think I might have said, sorry, I suck at this. Like, sorry.
That squirrel's dead when I got here, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, just, like I said, I have a rocket of arm. I just might kill a squirrel every once in a while. It's learning.
I was gonna say, you said you didn't have a strong forearm, but forehand.
Oh,
but
no, it's strong. I just don't know where it's going. Like,
no, okay.
I've hit people. I've hit cars. Like, I'm a menace out there.
Everyone, back up.
Yeah.
Shit. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if everyone will. It was a complete accident. I love squirrels.
Yeah,
I think everyone.
Think anyone
doesn't sound like you're like, you know, a squirrel murderer or anything.
I mean, I wasn't trying, and I've tried to avoid them in the past. I mean, but we've all accidentally hit one with a car every once in a while, and it's awful. It ruins your morning. But squirrels be squirrels.
Poor squirrel.
True story. Yeah. They live a crazy life.
Yeah.
What are the odds? Nuts. What are the odds?
Some guy who's what's the inventor of disc golf's name? I should know that.
Ed Hedrick.
Ed Hedrick. And he invented a flying disc, and then 2 years later, a man killed a squirrel with it. Like that squirrel had no idea what was going on.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah. Well, really, it was Ed Hedrick's fault. I mean, he did this.
Yeah. Blame him.
So now that you've had a little bit of reps with the Cervini, is the Cervini going to be your new favorite mold of that that's your mold, or can you not pick that? Is that like illegal? Is that like, it's like picking a favorite child? It's,
I don't know, man. Like it's, you know, I think the Urse is even for me, and I'm sure a lot of people had the same kind of learning curve with it. Like it took a little bit of time for me to kind of get used to. Like you had to throw it hard, and you kind of had to get used to that. And like if you don't throw it hard, it's gonna be stable. But yeah. I kind of learned it, and it's like the same thing with the Cervini, where it's like the first couple of rounds I had with it, I didn't like it that much, and then like today I threw it so much, and I was just like, this is. Like I threw it. I mean, obviously, because it's my disc and it's like the first time I'm throwing it. I probably threw it on like 10 holes, but I was just like every chance I got, I wanted to throw it because it was doing some cool stuff for me.
Right.
And that's the perk of like a 10 speed is that like you can just do so much like creative stuff with it. Like a flippy 10 speed, I can stand it up. I can make it go straight. I can stand it up, make it go left. I can hit it on an Anheuser and it's like a flick. So I think just because of the aspect of the creativity it allows for like the thrower, I'm super pumped to just like have people throwing it. And like, just, I think the reviews are going to be great. I think it's a good disc. I'm not going to pick it over the Ursus, but yeah.
Maybe one day.
Sounds like I need to get my hands on one. I love flippy stuff like that. So
yeah. Yeah. Hit me up after this and we'll figure something out.
I'm in.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. When I first got the Urses, I just took it out to local like pitch and putt course, and I threw it on, I don't know, 17 of 18 holes, I think.
Yeah.
Just trying to like figure it out, and how much like the amount of skip you can get with it, or like if you want to like you can also get it to where it can just spike right in and kind of hold there too. And oh, God, it's just like a
man. Yeah, it does some cool things where it just like it. I mean, it's so glidey, but it's so overstable that like whenever I first got it, because it was my disc, you know, that I was trying to throw that thing 400 feet, just like putting it on big Anheuser's just to see what I could do with it. Mm-hmm. And it was just weird. And so I was just having fun with it. But yeah, it's bread and butter is definitely just like hard Heiser, hard flat, like just punch it into the ground. Have you thrown that one, Kyle?
No, I haven't. I don't think I've thrown anything yet.
Okay. Nothing at all? Never?
Never, ever.
No disc?
No. But no, just from your lineup.
Okay, yeah, I'll send you some.
I'm totally in.
Yeah.
They sound awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. In Colorado, the Ursus might be, like, crazy overstable, but the Cervini is probably going to be, like, a bomber. Yeah.
Buttery.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty straight for me. And today we had a weird wind, but I was throwing it and I was like turning around. I was like, why is that hyzering out? And because I was so used to throwing the protos that were like, I mean, I thought about doing 10-6 -4-1 on some of those protos, but this one, I mean, it might be -2-1. It was, I mean, I was throwing it dead straight, and I don't have a cannon by any means. There's going to be guys who get this, and if they don't have good angle control, they're just going to throw it into the ground and they're going to be like, what the heck? But if you're a smooth power hyzer player, like you're going to do some cool stuff with this disc.
It doesn't really help, but it's almost in the perfect slot that my like really beat up orc is. Like it's if that orc was just completely lost, I could throw that in the same slot and it would like I wouldn't even skip a beat. It has the perfect amount of flip up and turn, and then just that little bit of fade back at the end just to kind of keep me in the middle.
Yeah, well, that's a good compliment, because I've had some old money orcs, and yeah, that's a great disc. And there's something nice about a disc that you can just stand up straight and Mm-hmm. Just throw it through the tunnel.
Throw it super hard, or you can just,
and you're like, well, if I don't throw this hard, it's going to be perfect. If I throw it a little too hard, it might turn a little bit, but it might bomb. So
yeah,
sounds perfect. I throw road runners a bunch, so pretty simple.
No, we'll definitely get you a couple, and yeah, just let me know what color and I'll do the rest.
Did you want to announce like a giveaway on the podcast, or do you want to post about it? I don't want to.
It doesn't matter. We can just do a post, or I mean, if,
okay.
We can mention it at the end and just say like, oh, and we're going to do a giveaway if you've made it this far.
Okay, right, there you go.
I dig it.
That's all the stuff I had kind of on to talk about. Was there anything that we missed that you were like really interested to make sure you kind of got your message out? And then I'll still give you a chance here to kind of plug all your socials and like your website and everything.
No, I think we covered a good amount. I mean, I definitely, like, I did my marketing spiel enough and told what I was about.
Good to hear. It sounds like you have a great pitch. So,
I do what?
You have a great pitch. Like,
I think it's I really do, and I know, like, I try to keep my biases away from it, and this is one I've been more nervous about than the Ursus, because I knew the Ursus was going to come out and it was going to do what it did. Like, it lands on the ground, like it goes to the left a little bit, depending on how you're throwing it. But, yeah, just a flippy 10 speed. There's a lot could go wrong with that, but. That's why there's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of good ones, because I mean, right. it's gonna be run to run. You're gonna find the perfect one, and but I think with the stamp that Justin Lego designed and the plastic that Legacy gave us, I think we got a banger.
When does the Cervini release? I don't know if you've said that out loud.
So they're releasing this Friday. I am going to try to get a list of retailers, but they'll definitely be available through terminalvelocity.com. They'll be available on Infinite Disc and probably most major retailers that you shop at. And if they don't have them, reach out to them.
Let them know.
Yeah.
They need it.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, if you guys go ask for a disc, I have stores all the time who are like, hey, I've had a couple people reach out for this, and that's huge for a guy like me, because it's more people getting them in the hands. And once you see them and get them in your hands, you might be like, I could try that.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to my two local guys.
Yeah,
I was thinking I could with my local guys too.
Yeah, I could send you a couple and tell them to test them out. I mean, that's what it's all about. And at this point, it's word of mouth and making stuff cool that people want to be throwing. But I kind of like being a niche. Like, it's not so big yet where it's like scary, so it's kind of cool where
still
I can
fun
just,
yeah
for now.
I dig that. right for now.
it's blown up a lot in the last couple months, where it's like it's almost a full-time job just to run the socials and stuff, and I don't want to get to the point where I'm like not messaging people back and stuff, but it's like just people hitting you up like, hey, when's this coming out? And it's awesome, and I love to talk to people and hear how the stuff's flying for them, but my wife and kids probably don't appreciate it. I'm like, I gotta message this guy I just met online because he's asking questions. Like,
but that's passion. I mean,
I'm literally, I would not do this if it weren't because I love this. And it's just like, I support anyone that is out just doing whatever they want to do because they love it. If it's making yo-yos, making disc golf discs, like whatever, it's, I mean, put whatever you like into the world. And I mean, obviously you are making y'all's podcast, and I appreciate anyone who's out there side grinding. It's good for people.
Yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a productive outlet, you know? I mean, yeah, you probably won't hit the lottery, but you know, you get to do some cool stuff, get to meet some cool people, make some connections, and just enjoy it.
Work on your passion.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like work as much as it is like the worst hobby ever.
Oh, shit.
So why don't you let everyone know where they can follow your story or your journey?
Yeah. Let me see. I think my Instagram, which is like the most active social I have, is terminal_velocity_discs.
And we'll put it in the show notes too.
Yeah, that'd probably help the best.
Unless I forget.
Yeah. Yeah, terminal_velocity_discs with an S. I think it's about the same one on Facebook. We're pretty active on there. Really, one of the best avenues is there's a terminal velocity buy sell group on Facebook that's pretty active. So you can go on there and get old runs of terminal velocity that we don't have currently. We're all out of glass. We're working on another run of those. But it's a good community out there of guys who support me. Not just because they support me, they're good, but they just seem like good people also, usually. I think it's up to like 1,000 people, so it's kind of a close-knit family.
It's awesome. Yep.
And that's where he, honestly, I think probably posts the most of the updates is kind of on like the buy-sell page, right?
I do a lot of updates on there, and I try to give them like a little special special love every once in a while just because they're the guys that are supporting me, so I want to support them.
Yep. Well, yeah, I guess
is that where you got your Cervini? I forget.
I got the Cervinis on there, and then I won the giveaway, like the initial giveaway.
Oh yeah.
To get the Ursus.
With the
two Ursus and the hat that my big fat head doesn't quite fit most ads.
Is it one of these?
It's one of them teal and orange ones.
Oh yeah, those are small guys, and
It like fits on my head. I just, no hats ever really look good on my head except for like beanies.
These are a little bigger. I do have, like, we joke about it, but I have like team thick boy. Like everyone on my team is like 200 plus. And so my buddy Paige, there's a hat company that does like big boy hats. So we'll have to get you one of those. But it's a weird thing to be like, hey, I want this hat. I'm like, how big's your head? Like, I want to warn you, but at the same time, I don't want to be like, you got a big head, you probably won't like these. But these,
I mean, it feels nice in the head. I just think I feel like I look like a 13-year-old, 40-year-old, you know, like,
yeah,
like I'm waiting for the bus, but I'm 40 years old.
It's a little flashy, but I mean, I'm pretty hip for an old man. So
yeah,
there's black ones. But I'll have to get you one of these. I got some camo ones. They'll be good.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah.
It was wonderful.
Make sure you guys.
No. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I just say make sure you guys hit up Infinite or Terminal Velocity on, what is that, March 10th? Is that 10th. What yeah. Friday is? March 10th. Get your Cervini. And if you see, I think Infinite Discs is having end of website sale, and Ursus are on sale there, so head on over there and grab some Ursus. And Zach, we appreciate you joining us and listening to us ramble and talk about my car thoughts.
I'm sure I did most of the rambling, but I appreciate it.
No, you had great stories, and it was awesome meeting you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Catch you on the flip side. I haven't said that in like 4 weeks or some shit. It's crazy.
That's it. Is that your normal catchphrase?
Yeah. We haven't done just like a. Oh, I don't know.
Sorry. I'll stop it.